from time to time. Some we welcome more than others. What are some of them? An invitation to a wedding or to someone's birthday party. An invitation to a significant anniversary celebration. And if you have children at school, well then, quite a lot of invitations to parties come in from classmates and friends. A less popular invitation might be to a works party that you're not all that excited about. And I know a few folk who squirm at an invite to a staff team building day away. Invitations, we've all had them or get them from time to time. Most we are okay with, but perhaps not all. The thing about an invitation is this: a reply has to be made, either to accept or decline. In verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1, we have a magnificent invitation from the Lord. An invitation that was first given to the people of Judah about 800 or so years before the time of Jesus. In the verses leading up to verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1, we can see that the people of Judah were not living the way God intended them to. They'd got away from His word, and they'd got away from Him. Oh, there was plenty of religion going on at the time, and the Old Testament sacrifices were being offered. But at heart, the people were far from God. We might say they were near to the Lord with their lips, but their hearts were not with Him. And yet, after God reminds the people of their waywardness and sin, after God reminds the people of the contradiction between what they profess to be and what they really are, all is by no means lost. After some disappointing reflection, God reaches out with a fresh opportunity, with a new invitation. Verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they will be like wool." Friends, here is God, almighty, all holy, and He's looking out on a people to whom He had given many opportunities to make wrongs right. He's looking out on a people to whom He had given many chances to accept His word and follow His ways, but they weren't listening. Let's hear again how bad things were. For example, partway through verse 4, we read, "They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him." Drop on down to verse 16 and we read, "Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right." To say the people were distant from God doesn't cover it. And yet, what do we find at verse 18? We find the Lord coming to them with an invite to return to Him, to be restored to Him, to walk again in friendship and fellowship with Him. An invitation that is relevant today, relevant for the Christian who has drifted, who has fallen back, who is not presently walking with Christ the way you once did. And this invitation is for those of us, young and old, who have not yet run to the Lord for cleansing, for those of us who have not yet owned up to our sin and accepted the Lord as our Savior. Some things I want us to notice from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, and the first is this: an invitation to reason with God. It's quite something, is it not, that God invites us to talk over how we are, where we are with Him. It's quite something to know the Lord is reasonable, one with whom we can talk things over. And we know God is reasonable because of His patience with His Old Testament people. I mean, He gave them leaders to lead them. He gave them His word to guide them. On their way from Egypt to the promised land, they complained about a shortage of food and a lack of water, and God gave them an abundance of both. God could rightly have given them up and moved on, but He didn't. He sat down with them, so to speak, to talk things through, to see if they were open to a new beginning, a fresh start with Him. An invitation to reason with God. But I've skipped over a very important little word so far in verse 18. It's the second word in the verse: come now. Folks, this is not God saying, go away and think about this. This is not God saying, come next week or next month. Now is now. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. The people were being invited to action, to listen to the Lord and get back to worshiping Him and walking with Him. No room here for comments like, someday I'll accept Christ, but not yet. When I've lived a bit, I'll think on the gospel and the implications of the gospel. When I've got all the boxes ticked regarding home and family and work and a decent pension in place, I'll think about reasoning with God then. Come now. Will you come now if you have never come to Him? Will you return now if you have been drifting for a while? Come now. Now is the accepted time, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Come now. I'm told that there is a scene in the film called Rocky 3 where a trainer called Apollo Creed is trying to get Rocky ready for a return fight with Mr. T. Rocky is having a hard time getting up for the training. His mind is on other things. And Apollo says to Rocky, what's the matter with you? This guy will kill you to death. We've got to get down to some serious training. And Rocky said, I can't today, Apollo. Maybe tomorrow. Apollo looked at Rocky and said, there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. God is saying something like that here. Tomorrow isn't promised to anyone. The first thing we notice about this invitation is an invite to reason with God, but there's a sense of urgency about it. Come now. Let's go a little bit closer to the verse and perhaps a little bit deeper. This verse isn't just about an invitation to reason. It's also a call to repentance. Halfway through verse 18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool. There's no getting away from it here. the issue God had with the people of Judah and with many today is sin, is disobedience towards God. Yes, the Lord is gentle and reasonable as our verse begins, but to him, sin is sin, and it has to be dealt with. It has to be repented of. Occasionally, I read an article or listen to a sermon by a preacher teacher called Sinclair Ferguson. And on the subject of repentance, he says this: having stated that repentance is the way into the Christian faith, Sinclair Ferguson says this: we don't just repent once. The Christian life requires daily repentance and submission to the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, I wouldn't for a moment want to discourage anyone at this point, but it's not enough to look back 5 or 10 or 20 or more years and say we repented then and received Christ as Savior, as if job done, box ticked. Of course, it's important to have a testimony of becoming a Christian. But the Christian life is lived effectively in an attitude of repentance. Day and daily we falter and fail, and day and daily God is reasonable and forgives us as we confess our sins to him. Now, let me try and unpack the second half of verse 18. The bit about sins like scarlet, red like crimson. We're to understand here that the Israelites used a deep red dye to make robes and other clothes. It just so happens that this deep red dye could not easily be bleached out without ruining the fabric. It was an intense dye. I'm told that if a person got the red dye on their clothes, clothes they didn't want it on, that even if those clothes were scrubbed until the fabric became worn, the fabric would still be red. When the red dye got on your clothes, it was there to stay. No amount of bleaching or rubbing or scrubbing could make it disappear. Friends, it seems to me that God is saying the same thing about sin. Try as we might to dismiss it or downplay it or gloss over it. Try as I might to present myself to God on my own terms as a decent soul. I need the Lord. I need Christ. I need God to do for me what I can never do for myself. Make me clean and acceptable to God. And yet, friends, God is saying that if we come to him and reason with him, he will forgive us, cleanse us, and save us. Please get hold of this, because while there is challenge here, there is also encouragement. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be like wool. I think we've got the point about sin being real in our lives. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, just think on how God can turn this around completely. When we think about snow and wool, there's nothing people do to make those white. We just don't think of snow and wool being any other color than white. And God is saying that if we come to him, he will cleanse our lives within, so making them pleasing in his sight and completely acceptable to him. Christian friend, I wonder, has there been a bit of slippage recently in some of our lives? Oh, over time it can happen, and without noticing. Presently, we're out of step with God, not attending to the ways of God we used to do. Maybe you're here today or following online, and you've never seen your sin as an ingrained thing, because for a long time you are of the mind that you are acceptable to God along these lines. that you're not as bad as some people and maybe better than most. Friends, sin is sin, and not one of us is untouched by it. And it won't go away no matter how hard we try to remove it or cover it over. But God can fix it. The Lord can fix it. He can put the wrong right. Because God has punished the sin of the world in Jesus. What does He do? He cleanses and declares clean all who turn to Him. Couldn't be any more clear than we have it in the second half of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. This is the gospel in the Old Testament. Plain and clear. The invitation to reason with God. Come now. The call to repentance. And then there is the outcome as we follow through with God. Reward or sign of reward. Verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. Now, maybe some of us are thinking, well, eating a good meal is certainly a blessing. But how is it a reward? Well, we have to remember that God's people had a pretty rough history. For 400 years, they lived as slaves in Egypt. For 40 years, they wandered around in the desert. Then they had to fight a series of battles with some setbacks to make it into the promised land. And in the time of Isaiah, it was all they could do to hold off the Assyrian army, which was getting ready to attack. The reference here to food is the Lord's way of saying a better future was ahead for them on the basis of their return to Him, a return to His word and to His ways. If they will but sit up and listen, repent and return to God, they would know for sure the Lord's blessing and joy and hope and peace. What does God give to men and women and young people today who take up His invitation to repent of their sins? With God and from God, there is full and free forgiveness for all our sins. And with that comes close friendship and fellowship with Him, Christ present in our lives by His Spirit, and heaven our eternal home. Read through Psalm 103 sometime. We read a little bit of it earlier. Read through that Psalm sometime and you will begin to get a taste of God's goodness, of the many blessings He gives to those who love Him and who take His way in life. Folks, please notice the option for not reasoning with God, the option for not repenting toward God is not at all attractive, verse 20. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. For many folk, an invitation to meet with royalty or some other high-profile person would be received with great excitement. The Lord's invitation in Isaiah is significantly greater than any other invitation we could ever receive, and that has implications for this life and for the life to come. God invites us to reason with Him, sort things out with Him. He urges us to repent and be cleansed by Him, and obedience to God has reward attached to it. In this life, and surely in the life to come. What will our reply, our response be to Him today? As any invitation, a response has got to be made. Let us pray. Lord, we praise You for Your plan of salvation, demonstrated so powerfully and so sacrificially in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Will you dispel any resistance to him that may be lingering in our hearts just now? And in patience and love, will you draw us to the Savior, the only one whose blood cleanses from all sin? And then take us away from here with renewed peace in our minds and with fresh joy and hope in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.